Hi, everyone. My two superstar coaching clients are back, Alan Lazaros and Kevin Palmieri of the Next Level University. As usual, they came prepared with tons of questions, and I brought the answers. The three of us are going to discuss creating positive relationships and how to detach your happiness from outcomes. Join me by texting me your favorite part of today's episode at 949-298-2905. And you can always join me every Friday for free training, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, or catch the replays featured on Spotify Entrepreneur and every other platform. You can always email me at david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Oh, yeah. And I got my dynamic duo, Kevin Palmieri, Alan Lazaros, my men from the Hyperconscious podcast, but more importantly, my mentees that come prepared. They show everyone what a coaching session is supposed to be like. Welcome to Office Hours, boys. You ready to fly?
As always, sir.
Ready to rock.
All right, let's make it happen.
So I am learning very quickly with my business endeavors the importance of delegating. Other than delegating your work, is there any other way to multiply your time from your perspective?
Yeah, for sure. And that's empowering, right? So there's a whole different world of delegation to empowerment. Empowerment is a value-based system that has a pragmatic execution model to it. So if we start with the values that we're empowering people with and then give them a plan. So for me, it's gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication upon five daily practices of taking inventory of your values, asking and attracting, studying your calendar, do it now, and practice ending fear. If I take those things as a course and then let someone shadow me and show them how it works, then work with them and show them how it works, and then watch them to see how they implement it and work and learn from it, improve upon what I'm doing by seeing how somebody else interprets and allows all of that empowerment to come through them. And then they're prepared what? To empower others. That's the most powerful way. Delegation is decent, but it's nothing like empowerment. Delegation is just, hey, can you do this for me one time, one off? You know, it's almost like feeding somebody a fish or teaching them to fish.
So Dave, I've got one that I'm going to lob over the plate for you. So in terms of business, I talk a little bit. So I've been doing a lot of business consulting. First question is, what do you think is the most important values that a coach should have when you're coaching or consulting with someone? So what are the most important characteristics of a great coach from your perspective?
Well, so quantitative value is the only thing that I could consider, because I believe there's subjective value in everything. Right. And so you need to really focus in on, am I providing more value than I'm charging? Now, if you're a free coach, you can coach subjective value all day long. But if you charge someone, you need to focus specifically on quantitative value, that I'm living by the 120 rule or whatever rule you want of exchange, of being of service and of value, of creating more profit. You know, for me on the business advisory side, I have a standard. I don't coach anyone or everyone, right? I only coach people that I can coach month to month, and I guarantee profitability, a quantifiable result that you are guaranteed. And if I can't do it, then I'm not going to coach you, unless, of course, you want to make an arrangement for me to be a subjective life coach and just make you feel good. I do have some people, you know, I won't use any names, but I had a client, I swear, I spent 20 minutes every other week listening about, you know, their issues, and there really wasn't too much coaching, but I made them feel good. And if that's what they want, that's the value they'll get. But most of the time, people want profit besides the passion purpose that I can give them as well.
What is your, and I'm sure it's different for everybody, but you always say activities you get paid for and then the other activities. What is your ratio for activities you get paid for versus other activities? And is there a ratio to shoot for?
So the ratio is 100%. right? I want to get paid for every single thing that I do. The more I receive, the more I can allow it to come through me for others. So I'm not only looking for the light, the love, and the lessons. Those light, love, and lessons are looking towards activity that I get. Like, I'm looking at my sleep. Okay, how can I get paid? You know, can someone hook up the Muse, monitor me, and then give me a couple grand every week to wear that while I sleep? You know, whatever it may be. So I'm always, as part of the component of finding light, love, and lessons, one of the lessons I'm trying to find is how can I have activity I get paid for? You know, if someone's going to pay me to watch my son play flag football, so be it. I'm trying to figure out a way that I can do it. So for me, my ultimate goal, my potential is 100% of all my activity I'd like to get paid for so I could let it go through me for others. And I don't think there is a percentage that is acceptable other than the most you can have.
Mm. So Dave, I was listening to an episode of the Playbook earlier on my way here, actually, and you talked about the different brainwaves. So there's four different types of brainwaves, if I'm correct. So gamma, alpha, beta, and theta. And you were talking about the benefits of each. Can you please, for Kevin and I and anyone listening, explain each as concisely as possible and then give us a tangible takeaway of like how we can actually use them to benefit the quality of our life?
So each of the different vibrations are frequencies. And so they're stations in essence of a radio. And I'm only going to talk because I don't want to misspeak. And I know that I had those notes in front of me when I was talking about alpha, beta, and gamma, all with different frequencies. But I do know theta, right? Theta to me is God code. And if you Google God code, it is the peace, the highest frequency. It's the one of allowance, meaning that to me, the theta vibration is the one that has the least interference to the greatest source of love, light, and lessons, the greatest source of power, what other people may call God, Jesus, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, whatever you may call Buddha. But for me, theta is so extraordinary as a frequency because it allows you to really feel the connection to this great source of power, love, and lessons. And it's an increase in your vibration. And it's an increase in the fact that a lot of different music plays at the theta vibration wavelength. And in each stage, there's different, and I don't want to misspeak, but it's easy to Google each of those states of mind and the benefits of being an alpha, beta. You know, some give you more rest, and I can't remember which one. So I've learned through the years, one of the greatest things I love about our friend Gary Vaynerchuk is like he doesn't say what he doesn't know. And so I rarely say this to the guys. I don't remember which one goes with which, but I do know that theta to me is the frequency that has the least interference or corrosion to that which we're inspired by and through.
When it comes to relationships, Dave, and this is something I see with a lot of my clients, they will be vibrating at a low vibration because they've gone through a lot of stuff and they will attract low vibration in. And rather than raising to their potential, they'll stay put and wonder why they stayed with the person as long as they did. When it comes to vibration and potential in relationships, what have you seen throughout the years from maybe your own experience or people close to you, clients?
Yeah, I think that we have to take temperatures of our relationships of how we feel, right? How someone makes us feel. And if they're bleeding us, we need to fall away or fire them. And I think a lot of times we have our closest relationships. Some we're born into, some we choose, but they're not encouraging relationships. They're not expansive relationships. They're interfering, resistance. Boy, have you guys ever had a relationship with someone that just every time you're with them, you don't feel good? And when you walk away, you even feel worse? You know, why is it that we allow that to happen? You're not going to eat food and keep on eating it if it makes you sick. But that's what relationships are comparative to me. And it took me, you know, literally 48 years to start, you know, figuring this out that, wait a second, a bad friend is like a bad meal. You know, I'm not going to keep on going back and ordering the same food that made me puke, right? And I literally have had relationships where every time I left being with that person, I felt like puking, just like I ate a bad apple. You know what I mean? And I see that being a huge mistake. I don't know why people tolerate it. So consider your friend's food and allow it to fall away. Fire them if they make you sick or barf them away from you.
What was your catalyst moment where you actually were able to like see that? Like it's something.
So my wife made me, when I made a commitment to her to take stock in who I was and what I want to become, I made a commitment to her because she saw by far that I had surrounded myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And she told me that in order to continue our relationship, one that was feeding me, one that was fruitful, one that made me feel extraordinary, that I had to fire the people that weren't. And so I developed a way of firing them. I called each of them and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to hang out with you anymore. This isn't about you. This is 100% about me and the way that I act and feel around you. And so I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not going to be with you anymore. So please don't reach out. Please don't take offense. This is about me, not you.
So last week I coached two young kids. Kevin and I gave a speech to a group of very, very young children. One was 7, one was 11. And then we gave a free call, which was really cool at the end. And there was like the spinny wheel. We gave everybody a free call. So I was coaching a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. And it was such an interesting dynamic because it was a young girl and a young boy. The boy was 11. And I asked them what they're afraid of. And the girl's like, I'm afraid of this. And I'm afraid of that. And I'm afraid of this. And the boy's like, I'm not afraid of anything. Right. And it's just this interesting dynamic. What I asked Kevin recently is, where am I a 7-year-old? Where am I an 11-year-old? Because it was interesting trying to communicate with someone who, you know, I don't talk to 7 and 11-year-olds often. I certainly don't coach them often. And in my head, it's like, when am I having that low of awareness in comparison to who I'm talking to? And all I could think of was you, Dave. So what I want to ask you is very simple. What do you believe is something that Kevin and I are not yet aware of that might be hard to hear, but that will help us at least contemplate it and try to connect it from your sense of awareness?
Yeah, I think both of you are still attached to an outcome. You know, repetitively through the context of our coaching sessions, you're always looking for this definitive outcome that you can attach a happiness or success or a competitive nature to. And it takes a long time to blend that fierce competitive persistence of wanting to be the best you, which I fully admire and love coaching you both and make you really coachable. But the hardest thing to do is to combine all of that those great qualities into a free will of allowance. You know, it's almost counterintuitive. It's counter dynamic to say, you know, I'm a bull, you know, I'm a dog holding onto a tire and I'll never let go. I'm going to make this happen. And the way I'm going to make it happen is I am going to be at center and at peace and allow all of the great energy that I put in it to happen. And I see both of you far ahead of your age and experience in this matter, but still, you know, as I am a long way from where I want to be, you're farther away from the detachment of allowing things to happen. And, you know, it's natural, but I think you could work and focus in on, hey, why am I disappointed right now? Because I'm, you know, doing my best. There's three things that I took from coaching Little League, and it applies to my whole life. And it applies to you too as well. You know, why not get in each situation three questions to ask yourself? Number one, did I do my best? And I believe you two have that down. Like, you know, very rarely are you not doing your best or trying to do your best. Two, what did I learn? But I think at a large capacity, a lot of times you're searching for the light, the love, and the lessons. So, you know, did I do my best? You know, what did I learn? And the last one is simply, did I have fun? And that's the allowance one. You know, are you capable of finding the enjoyment in that process, the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential? So, you know, if you take those three things that you teach little kids playing, you know, Little League of just, hey, you know, did I do my best? Did I hustle? What did I learn? And did I have fun? You could take that into every relationship, every business situation, every podcast you do, and give yourself a fair assessment to pursue your own potential.
Mm. I appreciate the honesty.
I've gotten that from two people I respect and admire recently, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My question is, so for us, when COVID happened, we decided that we were going to come out better. Now we have the studio, we have a lot of great things. What has COVID and the limitations what maybe with travel, I know for you, there's not a ton of limitations because everything is a possibility, right? But what has it taught you about Dave Meltzer? Like, what is this
whole thing? Oh, yeah. The big lesson, man, is I still don't know what I don't know. You know, no matter how much I fight my own ego, you know, the big area was, you know, with that travel that, you know, I was efficient, effective, and statistically successful. The waste in my life was enormous. And I had scaled back a lot, right? I mean, everyone only knows their perspective. You only know what you know. But I have cut and am more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. I don't need to travel with five people and cameras and hotels and dinners and, you know, all these things where I am laser focused and on providing value that is more true and aligned. And I'm sure I'll learn even more. The second thing was, you know, the lie about, you know, the weighted balance in my life. You know, when I thought, you know, my relationships are so great. My wife and I have an extraordinary marriage. We just celebrated our 23rd anniversary. My teenage daughters and I have an extraordinary relationship. The best you could with a 21, 19, and 16-year-old girl. You know, really fabulous relationship. And of course, the main man, 10-year-old. And what I learned was I'm full of shit, right? I'm a hypocrite. That I thought I had a great relationship. And then because of COVID with the family dinners and the videos that we do together and the little things that we're doing, you know, my values were all messed up again. I thought I had it right. And now if somebody would invite me to the Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Masters, Kentucky Derby to go meet the most famous celebrities, athletes, entertainers, billionaires, and entrepreneurs, and my family asked me, hey, I'd rather you stay home and have dinner with all of us. There's not even a doubt in my mind. Where I promise you there was more than a doubt in my mind before that I wasn't really missing out on anything, that I was making the better choice for the betterment of my family and myself. I have learned that I had made the wrong choice. It wasn't for the better of myself or my family. And the more valuable choice and the thing that made me feel the best about myself and, you know, allowed me to answer those three questions about, am I doing my best? What have I learned? And am I having fun is to stay home with my family and have dinner.
That's so interesting, right? I modeled, I just want to hammer quick. Yeah. I modeled a lot of my visions from you. Like I tell my girlfriend all the time, Dave's home on the weekends. Like Dave, he gets home on the weekends. Like that was my goal. And hearing you say that is very, making me have a breakthrough because if you assumed it was great then and now it's greater, that just gives me a deeper perspective at, you know, what I should shoot for. So I appreciate that.
Mm. And that's kind of what growth is, right? You learn what you didn't know before. You have a higher sense of awareness. You reprocess the past from that higher sense of awareness and you invest it in a brighter future. It's crazy. I was on a podcast with Kevin recently and I said, imagine if you're listening right now, you have a spotless future. You can start making new choices right now that will change everything. And it's like, to me, that's the most exciting thing in the world. But for a question, Dave. Earlier today, I had this really difficult moment where for some reason, this old memory popped up in my consciousness of when I was 19 years old and I made a really stupid choice. And I was drunk at the time, and it's something that I genuinely am ashamed of. But was I doing my best at the time? Sure, one could argue either way. But I had this moment, this choice, where I'm like, okay, I can go back to my productivity of like, you know, grind, grind, grind. Or I can sit in this moment and try to feel whatever this is and forgive myself for like my past self for this thing. And really feel it and invest it in the future. No one will ever really know, other than me telling my verbalization of it, what that was like for me this morning. And I honestly think that a lot of us have a habit of just going back on that mouse wheel and not taking the time in that moment to sit there and learn about themselves. For you, you're the silence between the notes that makes the music. Wayne Dyer talks about that all the time. What is something you can share with us that's a silence between the notes where you literally had to sit with something and it was really painful and challenging for you to sit with it because you were so ashamed of it? And then what did you do to reestablish your values and move forward from a forgiven place?
You know, what's so interesting is that one of the most horrific things that occurred to me, which is public but not spoken to a lot, is, you know, I was abused as a little kid, as a 9-year-old, and completely not only blacked it out, but because I felt that I was responsible because I didn't understand the context you know, because when you're nine, you think you know everything. And so all these varying things. So when the person who abused me was dying, you know, they were older and they knew and they called me and were, you know, apologetic and forgiving and wanting my forgiveness. And I honestly was like, holy shit, all that happened to me. Right here I was, you know, as a graduate from law school, you know, in my 20s, and this person's calling me to forgive me for what they had done to me, right? And I'm like, did that really happen? Why didn't I tell anybody? I was only 9 years old. You know what I mean? And I had to, and I went on. But by the way, the point was that in my 20s, I went on. And then I did a podcast with Sugar Ray Leonard, who had a similar experience, you know, went on in Todd Bridges, you know, kind of admitted that, you know, what had happened to him. And it was the first time that Sugar Ray Leonard admitted that he was abused, you know, and that forced me then, I went back again and we talked about it on the podcast. And then I went home and I sat with it for the very first time. And it was so important because I couldn't, number one, remember, then I couldn't talk about it. Right. I couldn't even talk about it. And then when I talked about it, I would break down in tears and an emotional breakdown. So, you know, I had to sit with it many different times as we talk about Cancel, Clear, Connect. And what I utilize is Connect. And I thought about these atrocious things that happened to me at nine. And then I took what I loved. Right. And I created this light that I would hold over me until I could shift that energy away from the pain. Right, that turn signal that says what lesson do you have to learn, and be okay with it, not be, you know, ashamed of what happened, not, you know, think that I'm to blame for what happened. But accountability is an interesting thing, because all I needed to ask truly was, what did I do to attract it to myself? Doesn't mean I was responsible, doesn't mean I was liable, but I shouldn't be ashamed of it or blame myself for it. I simply should say, what did I do to attract this to myself at nine? And what am I supposed to learn from it, right? Because I believe that we have quantum memories and we have quantum experiences, and that we go ahead and we attract the things that we want to learn in this instant of a second that exists between limitlessness and infinity. And to sit with that, you now can experience exponential growth, acceleration. You also, you know, under the context of my toughness and telephone, you're building a layer of toughness. You are practicing ending fear. You're clearing away a serious frequency interference or corrosion that probably doesn't make you feel good, at least in your unconscious, most likely in your subconscious. And every once in a while, it appears that it did for you in your conscious.
Is there a practical way to forgive yourself for the poor mistakes or poor choices you've made in the past? Like, do you, and you at nine, you know, and I've suffered my own certain abuses, and Kevin as well. But like, in terms of a mistake you personally made, how do you go about, for anyone listening, forgiving yourself for that and sitting with that?
So you literally go to the fact that we are one, right? Like, you know, sins in the perception of right from wrong, these are just opportunities to learn. And so it helps me to forgive myself is that I learned the lesson. You can't forgive yourself if you haven't learned the lesson, right? If you haven't been accountable and learned the lesson, you're not going to be able to forgive yourself. But when you know, forgive yourself and learn that lesson and then act upon the lesson that you've learned, it's quite easy to forgive yourself, because every single person out there is making mistakes daily that are, you know, forgiving mistakes. And that they're, you know, for me, I'm at the edge of my potential that I am practicing trying to forgive the unforgivable. You know, I work through scenarios in my own quiet time and my own meditation of trying to figure out how to forgive the unforgivable, the things, you know, that are happening in the world that to me are unforgivable things. How do we find that? Because once you become aware of it, you're relative to it. Once you're relative to it, you now have a certain degree of accountability for it happen, right? So for example, the pandemic, I actually asked myself, what did I do to attract the pandemic, and what am I supposed to learn from it? Now, some people may think that's absolutely insane. I think it's absolutely a journey I want to be on, and not in an arrogant way, but in a large lesson way that it enables me to forgive myself in a bigger capacity, which then allows me to forgive others.
We're up against it, Dave, so I want to respect your time. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, you've number one, you keep coming on here every week because I think more people learn from these actual, you know, it's like these interactions are incredible because people feel comfortable learning and you guys are exposing and illuminating all types of issues that everyone has. And you do it with great integrity for the greater good and the betterment of all. So number one, please keep showing up here every other week. And keep expanding and growing and empowering other people. And most importantly for me, if you could please get more people, you know, we got thousands and thousands. I'm so proud of our weekly trainings. It's the number one downloaded podcast of mine now. It beats out the Cameron Diaz's and Dan Aykroyd's and Ray Lewis's. People just want to hear those trainings of how to empower themselves to be happy. So please get everyone to reach out at those numbers below, 949-298-2905. And david@dmeltzer.com. I know you guys show up, either watch the replay or watch it live. So that's all I ask. And most importantly, be kind to your future selves and do good deeds.
Thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate you.
Always. Thank you so much. Much love, Dave.
Congratulations. I am a proud papa of Kevin and Alan. As you know, these guys can kick some butt.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.